Thanks for listening to AM 620 KTOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now, coming to you live from the banks of the Willamette River, it's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620kpoj.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Give them hell. Our board op today is Sarah Molnar. Our content producer and call facilitator is Zach Rabaroff. Our associate producer is Al Nowakowski from the Windy City, and he will be here with a single payer special report. And of course, our mistress of the social media is going to be here with big news about the Facebook page. You're listening to 620 AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. We have yet another great show for you today. Tony Kark from the Center for American Progress will be here in the second hour for an extended interview. And if you think you know the Koch brothers, you don't. If you think you know how deep that rabbit hole goes, you don't. Tony Kark from the Center for American Progress has written a comprehensive 30-page report on the Koch brothers that is edifying and terrifying all at the same time. In the third hour, we will have Casey Hansen and Susan Salador from the Multnomah County Dems, and they're going to be here to talk about some of the races that are going on there, but we're also going to talk to them about why they do what they do. I like to have people on who are involved in politics so that we can find out what motivates them. What does getting involved to change your world, to make your world a better place, do for your individual life? So when I ask people to come on, or when they ask to come on, I let them know that we're going to get personal with people who have committed their lives and their extra time for no money to try to make the world a better place. We're going to talk about the president. Your calls in the second segment came out. We're going to play some clips. We're going to talk about, do you believe him? Do you believe what he says? It was an inspiring speech. Progressive blogs, Rachel Maddow, Tom Hartman. Everybody's freaking out. Feels like he announced a new day. I'm not sure how I feel about it, and I want you to help me understand what happened, because I'm not sure why everybody's freaking out about this speech. We'll talk about the president's credibility coming up in the second hour. Your calls, 1-866-452-0620. 503-248-0620. Get your Mad as Hell calls ready. And in the first hour, we have a mystery guest. I guarantee you this guest has never been interviewed on any show, progressive, Republican, I don't care, OPB, PBS. This is a Mad as Hell exclusive coming up in the third segment. You don't want to miss it. I'm not going to tell you who it is because you really want to hear this one. And, now I'm going to tell you about a reaction I got from my monologue last week where I talked about socialism. So last week I got up on my little microphone and I said some bad words, words like socialism and liberal. And I encouraged us to take them back. And a right-wing blog called The Blaze picked up on it and had an absolutely epileptic reaction. And I'm going to read some highlights from that epileptic reaction. It starts, kind of innocently enough, I guess. One is another head filled with union teacher pig squirt. I think that's kind of interesting. This next one has a kind of a poetic quality to it. Outer space seems to be the only place that we can get away from these barf-breathed, burrito-brained, bozo-trained, hail-bop writing, bath salt snorting, butt-jabbing banana tarantulas. But I'm not stuck with them. They're stuck with me. Obviously a fan of The Watchmen. Okay, so those are the kind of fun ones. It starts to get a little more serious. Anytime anyone invokes the phrase common good or social justice, you know they just want you to give up your dreams, goals, and aspirations – and help them achieve theirs. We need to stand up to these commies and go medieval on them, spelled M-I-D-E-V-I-L. All right. Now we start to get down to it. Here's another one. I hope they all come out. Then we can start charging them with sedition. They want to transform, which is code for destroy our system of government. Time to pull off the kid gloves and start charging these people and laying out the evidence of their actions. Well, at least this guy wants to afford me due process. I think that was kind of generous of him. Here's another one. Yeah, let's stop running from socialism and turn and fire instead. F you liberals and socialists, you will be hunted someday. Okay, so now they're hunting me down. And I got to be honest, I wasn't sure how to respond. How would you respond? I mean, nobody wants to be hated like this, right? Not even an AM talk show host. You don't want to be hated. I mean, a certain amount of being hated comes with the job, but this is really extreme stuff. Here's another one. Bring it on, you communist rat vermin scum. Bring it on. Take the mask off. Show the world what and who you are. Show yourself to be the Fabian socialist, murderous, evil, rat, vermin, Stalinist, Maoist scum that you are. And here's the interesting part. Let your anger and hate show so we can deal with you. Who's got the hatred? This is hatred, pure and simple. And it really highlights the distinction I always make on this show between mad as hell and rage, between legitimate anger that is productive and animal aggression. All I had to do was mention the word socialism, and it triggered a fear reaction in them so powerful that they had to attack. If you go to theblaze.com, you'll see about 260 reactions all like this, because it's a very short, quick trip from fear to rage, a straight line from fear to hatred, from fear to aggression, from fear to violence. And I'll be honest with you, my first reaction was fear. Even though I wasn't surprised, even though in some ways I wanted it, even provoked it, I still felt afraid in a very animal kind of way. And I was mad. I was mad as hell, all the way back to Ronald Reagan, who came into office on the promise of morning in America, a place where we can all go back to sleep and wave the flag in our dreams and snuggle up to our ignorance with a warm cup of freshly brewed lies every day. Because the truth is, this kind of pseudo-patriotism has been growing for 30 years, and it has transformed our country into a place where people wield their love of America like a weapon. And I thought of coming on the show this week and just firing back at them, you know? I mean, that's good AM radio, man. Adam, just get out there and spray them down. Spray down these so-called freedom-loving hypocrites. But then I thought about it for a minute, and I remembered something. It was right after 9/11, and there was this quad split panel on TV, and one person was saying, you know, let's go into Afghanistan and blow it up tomorrow, and another person was talking about sanctions, another person was predicting what the president was going to do, and there was one person on there who was advocating for a peaceful response. But the thing is, of all the people on the panel, he was the most shrill, the most attacking, the most obnoxious person. And I remember thinking at the time, wow, this guy really is getting it wrong. You can't come on and advocate for peace and then embody the spirit of attack. It's bad for the cause, man. And I want to stand for peace. And I don't want to be that guy. So I had to ask myself, which guy do I want to be? I mean, I can't ignore the attack. That would defeat the whole purpose of the monologue, which was to protest the fact that I can't even use certain words without being labeled as someone who hates America and should be gunned down in the streets. And a protest that fails to provoke a response fails. So, in many ways, I succeeded, but a lot depends on how I respond now. Because this hatred and violence is out there in America, and the worst place for it to be is growing like a mold in the dark places of our society. I felt like this could be, if I responded appropriately, an object lesson in nonviolence, because we don't want that out there. We want to pull it out into the sunlight. Otherwise, we wake up one day and there's hate everywhere and we say, where did it come from? I thought it would just stay in the closet. Well, it isn't going to stay in the closet. Mold doesn't stay in the closet forever. And the best prescription for mold, the best prescription for hatred is sunlight. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. So I succeeded. I called it out. I was able to drag some small part of the same hatred that murdered Dr. Tiller, the abortion doctor, the same hatred that made it possible for Gabrielle Giffords to be shot, the same hatred that is growing and thriving in the corners of our country in places that we don't even want to look. And so let's pull it out into the light of day so that we can get a good look at it. So it's out there. Now what are we going to do with it? Well, I'm going to use another bad word. And it might piss them off even more than the last bad word I used. And it might even make people who agree with me uncomfortable. But I'm going to use it anyway. Because this word has been and always will be the most powerful political force the world has ever seen. Do you know where I'm going with this? Do you know what the word is? The word is love. Now, it may not be good AM radio, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Because I'm not talking about the love that we have for puppy dogs and bunny rabbits. And I'm not even talking about the love we have for our families, which is real and powerful. But that is a personal kind of love. I am talking about love with a capital L. I am talking about what Gandhi called Satyagraha, the soul force, the truth force, the unassailable power that comes from recognizing that our enemy is not made up of their actions or their words, but of the very same dignified, noble, human substance as ourselves. And if we persist in this belief, if we insist on seeing nothing else in ourselves and in our enemies, it will finally be all that is left between us. And once we know this, really know it, then we will have the courage and the wisdom it takes to walk into the darkness, wake the beast, and hold our ground when it starts to growl. And so I won't back down from what I said last week. I won't. I am still a liberal, and I want to talk about building a society that works for as many people as possible. Because I don't know how it is possible to love America, but not love your fellow Americans. And that goes for everyone. That goes for us and for them, because there is no us, there is no them. It must include the people who hate us and the people we sometimes hate, in spite of our better inclinations. So, if you want to call me a socialist, Maoist, communist, pig-squirting enemy of America, go for it. If you want to hate me for it, that's fine. But I won't hate you back. I won't attack back, but I won't back down, because I will stay right here and declare my beliefs openly until you afford me the same dignity that I extend to you. The right to speak freely in a free society without fear. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Your calls next. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Prepare yourselves for Klugman.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. Talk. It's only talk, but sometimes if we talk clearly enough, loudly enough, we can change the world. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. This is AM 620 KPOJ, and this is your turn to give us a call. I want to hear what you have to say. 1-866-452-0620-503-248-0620. What did you think of some of those responses I had to just mentioning the word socialism? And while we're on the subject of asking questions, what did you think of the president's speech? Sarah, let's play the opening to the President Obama's speech this week.
This is a vision that says, even though Americans can't afford to invest in education, at current levels or clean energy, even though we can't afford to maintain our commitment on Medicare and Medicaid, we can somehow afford more than $1 trillion in new tax breaks for the wealthy. Think about that. In the last decade, the average income of the bottom 90% of all working Americans actually declined. Meanwhile, the top 1% saw their income rise by an average of more than $250,000 each. That's who needs to pay less taxes? They want to give people like me a $200,000 tax cut that's paid for by asking 33 seniors each to pay $6,000 more in health costs. That's not right. And it's not going to happen as long as I'm president.
That's pretty tough talk from this president, who hasn't really been taking those kinds of stands or even using that kind of rhetoric ever since he took office. So I get a sense that this is probably the first of his campaign speeches. But what do you think? Do you trust him? Do you think he's right? I mean, when he says, do you believe him when he says he's not going, it's not going to happen on his watch? I mean, he told us that he was going to close Guantanamo, but it's still open. He told us that he was going to restore habeas corpus, but he's imprisoned Bradley Manning without due process or a speedy trial. He told us that he wasn't going to extend the Bush tax cuts, but he did. So this is strong rhetoric, but I have to say that I don't know that I trust him. I don't know that I believe him. And then, of course, the question comes up is, isn't he really at some level really seeding the wrong argument? Isn't he just taking this argument on the Republican terms? This whole idea that what we're supposed to do when we're in a recession is cut spending, when in fact what we really need to be doing is stimulating the economy by spending, by creating jobs, by rebuilding our infrastructure, and by putting money into the economy and creating jobs, and those jobs create people who can buy things, and those create other jobs, and on and on and on. I mean, isn't it really a mistake to say that the way out of what we're in, the disaster that the economy is in, is somehow to cut? And hasn't he really just surrendered the argument to the Republican terms? Give us a call here, 1-866-452-0620, 503-248-0620. Sean in Battleground, line one, you're on Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Sean.
I hate to sound cynical, man, but I think the Republicans and Democrats are really just like professional wrestling, or it's like, I heard someone say it's like watching the Harlem Globetrotters play the Washington Generals. You know, it's just the whole thing is just a setup, and it's just ridiculous, you know?
Well, what did you think of the president's speech? I mean, do you believe? I mean, this was pretty tough talk. Don't you agree that the rhetoric was stronger than we've seen for a couple of years?
Well, I think he's just back in campaign mode, you know, just like he was before the presidential election. You know, so he's throwing some red meat to the base. But really, he's just answering to Goldman Sachs and Wall Street the same way the Republicans are. I just spent the morning at him reading Matt Taibbi's book, Griftopia. And the whole book is an expose on how the Tea Party and places like the Blaze.com, they're nothing but lackeys and useful idiots for the Wall Street capitalists who've robbed us blind over the last 2 or 3 years. And I really don't think we're going to be able to answer the challenge of multinational corporations and Wall Street power until we get back to a more class-conscious, far-left socialist, if you will, type of movement. There's no way to have a countervailing force against Wall Street's power unless we have one big union of working-class people and poor people who are willing to stand up against this immense financial power of Goldman Sachs and Wall Street.
Well, I was talking to somebody, and I was kind of expressing this view and my view, which is that, you know, that he can't be trusted. And this person was pushing back on me and saying, well, wait a minute, he's a politician. You know, this is rhetoric. Can you really expect our politicians to hold to their promises? And I kind of pushed back and said, well, that's a pretty cynical view. But But what if, I mean, he says he's not going to extend the Bush tax cuts. He's made that promise before. What if in the process of negotiation, we could get another stimulus package? What if in the process of negotiation, we could somehow get him to really start putting money into alternative energy? I mean, isn't politics about this kind of incremental compromise?
Adam, if you look at what happened to Franklin Roosevelt in the 1930s, Franklin Roosevelt was a wealthy man. He didn't start off as a progressive. And the way the Democratic Party and Franklin Roosevelt were pressured into adopting progressive policies was by having a strong and vibrant Communist Party USA, people on the far left, people who did not join the Democratic Party, but were organizing in far left organizations that pressured FDR to adopt programs that were beneficial to working class people.
Now, Sean, now you've really hit on something. I think that that's extremely important to understand, that the only way that President Obama or any politician is going to keep their promises is if there are consequences when they don't.
That's right.
George Bush, in his own twisted, egomaniacal, way, was a more effective president, right? I mean, he got that ridiculous war in Iraq. But if he didn't push for it, there would have been consequences. And on the left, we need to organize. We need to start applying pressure so that when our politicians, when Democrats break their promise to us, there are consequences. Sean, thanks so much for the call.
You.
I really appreciate it. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ. This is Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman, where the people have the power and aren't afraid to use it. We'll be right back with our mystery guest. You don't want to miss this one. Stay with us. AM 620 KPOJ. We'll be right back.
Well, here at Mad as Hell in America, we talk a lot about corporate personhood and Citizens United and this whole idea that corporations can be people. And lately, they've been given the same rights as U.S. citizens. And so I started thinking, it's such a complicated issue, and there are so many sides to it. Wouldn't it be great if we could actually put a name and a face behind corporate personhood? So our next guest is someone very special, and I'm very proud to have gotten this interview. His name is Vic Stone Media. He's a limited liability company from New York, and he is an actual, honest-to-God corporate person. In addition to his corporate activities, he's the author of several works, most recently the 2011 First Quarter Shareholders Report. Vic Stone, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Adam. And, oh, by the way, my friends call me Vicky.
Okay, Vicky. You're a corporate person. What exactly does that mean?
Just what it sounds like, Adam. I'm no different from you, a constitutionally protected citizen, just with a better portfolio.
But you're not a citizen, you're a corporation.
Well, I don't see what difference that should make. Champagne?
No, thanks. My point is that a lot of people, and I consider myself one of them, feel that a person really isn't the same thing as a...
As what?
Well, as a business. I mean, you're not really a person, biologically speaking.
First of all, that really hurts my feelings.
Oh, come on. Feelings?
Yes, feelings.
Like what kind of feelings?
When my stock prices drop, do I not feel fear? When I report record earnings, am I not proud? When my CEO gets caught in a scandal, do I not feel shame?
I doubt it.
I think you are being a little biocentric, Adam.
Biocentric?
Yes, biocentric, and it's quite ugly. You human beings think that just because you breathe air that you have some exclusive claim on personhood.
Well, yes, I think I do. I'm an actual person.
And so am I. I just happen to be a different kind of person. Does everyone have to fit in with that narrow definition you've created for yourself? And isn't it really just prejudice by another name?
Wait a minute now.
Adam, you call yourself a progressive, but maybe you're really just a reactionary. We live in a multicultural, multinational world, and the old definitions just don't apply anymore. For example, you are what I like to call a human person. I am a corporate person. I don't see why you have so much trouble with this, Adam.
Well, I guess I am prejudiced. I just don't accept that there is such a thing as a corporate person.
And yet, here I am. So maybe denial isn't just a river in Egypt, Adam.
Okay. All right. Let's just say that in some twisted semantic way, you are a person. I guess what I find offensive is that it's an insult to me, a living thing. As science defines it, to be living, a thing must, quote, be capable of growth, reproduction, and metabolism.
Are you asking me to take a physical?
No, I'm asking you to demonstrate in scientific terms your claim that corporate personhood is equal to human personhood.
But that's not my claim.
It's not?
No. My claim is that corporate personhood is superior to human personhood.
Oh, this I gotta hear. In what ways are you superior to me?
Well, from a legal standpoint, I'm vastly superior because I have limited liability, while you, a human person, have unlimited liability.
And how does that make you superior?
For one thing, unlimited liability makes you so much more vulnerable. If you make a mistake, if you, say, kill 11 oil rig workers and, well, pollute the Gulf of Mexico for the next 100 years, I can hold you criminally liable. You would probably go to jail for a very long time. Whereas my colleague, British Petroleum, simply pays a fine, keeps on pumping.
I don't think that makes you superior. I think it makes you reckless and irresponsible.
One person's reckless is another person's profit margin, Adam. And I would like to add that I, as a corporate person, exist in perpetuity while you, a mere human person, eventually die. I am, in a sense, eternal, while you are merely mortal.
Let's go back to my original question.
The science question. May I hear the definition again?
In order to be living, a thing must be capable of growth, reproduction, and metabolism.
Let's take the first part of the question. Do I grow? Of course I do. 150 years ago, I started out as a scruffy railroad company in Santa Clara County, and now look at me. I'm all over the country. I'm overseas.
Yes, in the Cayman Islands.
Well, everyone needs a vacation now and again.
From paying taxes.
That's exactly right. In fact, that's another way in which I'm superior to you. I don't actually pay taxes, while you are burdened with paying for all the infrastructure I use to make a profit.
Do you think that's fair?
Oh, you liberals are always talking about fair. Fair is as fair does, Adam. Without profits, there would be no industry. Without industry, there would be no jobs. Without jobs, there would be no prosperity. And without prosperity, we're no better off than communists. You're not a communist now, are you, Adam?
Finish my question. You explained that you grow. Fair enough. What about reproduction?
Well, consider all my subsidiaries. I think of them as my children.
They're not children. Human beings have children. I have children. You have little companies.
Yes, and those little companies grow into big companies, just like your children.
But you didn't give birth to them.
Neither did you, Adam. But if we're talking about labor, don't get me started, because I've had labor pains for the last 100 years.
You're just being evasive.
I don't think I'm the one who's being evasive here. I think it's you who keep avoiding the issue.
And what issue is that?
That you, my liberal friend, are just another bigot. You don't like the way I define myself, so you want to change the definition to suit your purposes. Oh, you're all in favor of multiculturalism. But when it comes to multinationalism, you want to create new categories that assert your privilege. You're an anti-corporatite, Adam, of the worst kind.
An anti-corporatite? What's that?
It's someone who holds prejudicial views of corporate persons.
Well, I guess I am then. I am an anti-corporatite.
Well, there it is. At least you can be honest about it, Adam. Because at the end of the day, you and all your liberal listeners are just a bunch of biocentric bigots who think being human makes you a part of some privileged elite class of miracles. But I am a miracle, too. I am a miracle of economic ingenuity, a miracle of law, a living, growing, sentient citizen born right here in the U.S. of A. with the same desire to be free that you have. I am the new person, Adam, the corporate person, the answer to the problem of death and taxes and the moral ambiguity that make you and your kind the dinosaurs of this age. I won't let you hurt me, Adam. I won't let you use the rule of law to strip me of my economic birthright. And I will never, ever let you turn me into a second-class citizen.
What the hell? Zach, will you see who that is? Excuse me, but we're recording a radio show.
Yeah, we know. We were listening and came right over.
Wait a minute. Aren't you Justice Scalia?
Damn right he is.
Hold on, and you're...
John Roberts, in the flesh.
What's going on here?
We're here to protect an American citizen.
I'm okay. The conversation just got a little overheated.
We're not protecting you. We're protecting him.
Wait a minute. You're supposed to be defending me from him.
You really have a distorted view of America, my liberal friend.
Are you all right, Vicky?
Just a little weak. After a few more elections, I'll be fine.
Well, you can have as many of those elections as you can buy in 2012, baby. And there's nothing that progressive peon, Klugman, can do to stop you. What did you do to him, Klugman? Get up, Vicky. We're leaving.
Mr. Klugman.
Yes, Justice Roberts?
I hope that one day people like you will wake up, renounce their hatred, and accept that we are all together in this. That we are all good Americans fighting for the same cause.
You're not saying.
Oh, yes, I am.
Please don't.
Suck it to him, John.
We're all citizens united now, buddy boy.
I was afraid you were going to say that. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. We'll be right back.
Okay, so I wasn't entirely honest. It wasn't a real guest. We're trying something new here at Mad as Hell in America. I wanted to interview a corporate person. So in my mind, I started reviewing the logic and so tried to write a sketch that really followed the logic all the way through. And what I found kind of devastating about the logic as I went through it was this idea that somehow I'm limited in my thinking, that somehow we're limited in our thinking because we're not willing to include corporations as persons. And what's scary about that is that they can use our own logic against us, that somehow we are bigots, we are closed-minded because we won't allow corporations to be considered persons. What did you think of the sketch? What do you think of the logic? What are we going to do about corporate personhood? The numbers here are 1-866-452-0620-503-248-0620. Your calls are next. It's wide open. We want to hear what you have to say. This is Mad as Hell in America. I'm Adam Klugman. We're experimenting. We're trying new things. And I must say that I thought the performances in that sketch were pretty swell. The corporate person was played by Shelley Lipkin. Justice Scalia was played by Enrique Arias. And the Justice Roberts was played by our very own Zach Rabaroff. What do you think about corporate personhood? What did you think about the president's speech? What do you think about the budget? What do you think about where we're headed as a country? Give us a call next, 866-452-0620-503-248-0620. I really want to hear from you. I want to get some feedback on the sketch. I want to hear if you want to know more, if you want to hear more of that kind of stuff on the show. Give me a call here, 1-866-452-0620-503-248-0620. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America. I'm Adam Klugman, and this is AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman, now on Portland's progressive talk, 620 KPOJ.
It's a beautiful world we live in.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Coming up in the next hour, Tony Kark from the Center for American Progress will be here to talk about the Koch brothers. I know we've heard a lot about them, but do you really know how deep the rabbit hole goes? I don't think you do. Tony Kark is smart. I didn't know the things that he put together in his 30-page report. He's going to be here for two segments to really give us a good look at how deep this rabbit hole goes. I'm telling you, it's worse than you thought. And then before that, in the first segment, Al Nowakowski will be here, our roving reporter in the Windy City, who's going to give us a single-payer report from the road. We're still alive. Single payer still going strong in this country. So if you're a single payer supporter, you will definitely want to stick around for that. We've got a full board. So let's go to line two. Jimmy in Portland. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Hello. I just wanted to call and compliment you for that skit that you just put on.
Oh, thanks.
I thought that that was just a stroke of genius. I mean, you know, I'm not necessarily a liberal or progressive or conservative for that matter, but I really respect your intellect to be able to project, and I know it's kind of sort of a tongue-in-cheek thing, but
sure.
to project that type of honesty of thought, that just really speaks of your intellect to be able to to have the sense of humor to put that kind of a skit together. That puts you a cut above other people that can't argue creativity, that have no creativity, that just get all emotional and angry, and here you're putting humor to it, and yet it's very serious, tongue-in-cheek type discussion, and I just wanted to tell you, I think that was just a masterpiece.
Oh, Jimmy, thank you so much. Thanks so much for calling. That's just really nice to hear. I really wasn't sure how it was going to go over. I got to be honest. And I didn't let people in on the joke before we did it. So, Jimmy, thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate the compliment. Let's go to line one. Valerie in Vancouver. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. What's up?
Well, I reiterate everything the previous gentleman just said. I believe that one of the most profound tools we have for teaching is theater in every form and art.
Yes.
It's universal. It's a way to get people to understand and realize the real issues at a real core level. And if you ever get a chance to talk with corporate person again, the only question I would ask is, if corporate person is so proud of being an American, born in America, and believes that he's equal to the human because he can reproduce, and are not his subsidies just like his children? Well, if they are, and he's so proud of America, why is he so quick to ship his children to other countries?
Oh, excellent question. I didn't think about that when I was writing it, but that's a really good question. Maybe we'll have corporate person. Well, maybe we'll have Vic back on the show. Valerie, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for the nice words about the sketch. Let's go to Mark, line four in Portland. Welcome to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. What's up?
Hey, thanks, Adam. A terrific sketch again.
Thanks.
And, I was thinking, if, the right wing always rails about, Planned Parenthood, but I think what we need to do is talk about what ESNS and Diebold and Sequoia really mean is Planned Presidenthood.
Planned Presidenthood. That's so pretty good. I like that. I like that.
Use that in a sketch sometime.
Maybe we'll put a sketch around that. Hey, thanks so much for the call, Mark. I really appreciate it. Yeah, if we don't start paying attention to those voting machines, I mean, it just doesn't matter what we say if we don't make that honest. I don't know what happened to paper. It was working great. I don't know why we switched. Let's go to line five. Cassay, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. How are you?
Hi.
Kelly. Kelly in Portland. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm a first-time listener, and that was really good.
Thanks.
It's exactly how they portray themselves, good example.
It's how they think, you know what I mean? It's really how they think, that somehow corporate personhood is superior to human personhood.
Well, that's why our country's falling down on its butt.
No kidding.
Because of these kind of people.
Because we're inhuman. They're more human than we are. That's the issue. The whole policy is inhuman. Anyway, Kelly, I'm talking over you. What's up, Kelly?
Well, there's so much going on that's so negative. Maybe these senators should have only 4 years, There needs to be consequences, because what they're doing, they're ripping us apart.
They are.
It's like they want to kill us behind the scenes. And I'm tired as a single mom, trying to do my best. And they want to, now they're trying to take Medicare, Medicaid, provide jobs, quit putting jobs offshore, give us jobs and businesses so we don't have to go through this little, whatever your scam is. You know what I mean?
Kelly, absolutely right. Thanks so much for the call. I mean, I think, and I want Art and Cassay to hold on. We'll take your calls in the next segment. It's a long break, but we'll take it at the top of the next segment. Hold on. But I think Kelly's point is really good. They don't care about us. Start crafting policies that are for human beings, not corporate persons, human persons. We need a country that's engineered for the benefit of human persons. We need to stop having our public policy policy crafted by private corporations. And until we do something about that, we're going to see more and more and more of the same. Thanks so much for your calls. Thanks for the encouragement on the sketch. We're going to do more of them. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. This is AM 620 KPOJ. When we come back, Al Nowakowski will be here with a single payer report. And we're very lucky to have Tony Kark from the Center for American Progress. He's going to show us how deep the Coke hole goes. We'll be right back.